Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. We usually have him in studio, but he's moved to the Big O. That is our friend Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Schaefer, good morning. Have you gotten used to life not in Lincoln anymore? Because we miss you here, man. We miss you in Lincoln.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know. You are where you are. I hadn't moved in like 19 years. So this whole experience is somewhat odd, but no, it's fine over here in Omaha, or, you know, in actuality, Bennington. So,
Bennington. You know, whoa.
I got to see two of you in the last week. I'm just missing Bill Bush for the trifecta. I saw Jake yesterday.
Where'd you guys connect at?
At a golf course yesterday.
Oh, that ever came up in Adel Chit Chat one time?
It did not. It did not.
You were playing golf when Schaefer was there.
It did not
just
come
a
up.
Tournament play?
It was as a tournament. Yeah, it was a tournament.
Okay, life's good for you guys.
Not today.
I was in the ER and Steve was riding, and you guys are out gallivanting around golf courses.
Just tell me it's a fire thorn.
It was.
No, of course it was.
Of course it
not
was.
Today. That's it for a long time for me, okay?
Okay, all right.
So yesterday just didn't come up, and
yeah, it didn't come up at all. Never got mentioned.
It didn't need to. Now it has with Schaefer. So
but you were, you withheld that information.
I did withhold
on
that.
Person
curiously.
That's fine. Yeah, I did.
Hey Schaefer, do you have a home now?
Yeah, I am living in a home. Yes, I have a dwelling.
He's doing great.
We have a place over here in Bennington.
So okay,
it's been good. Getting adjusted to a new house is also somewhat frustrating and annoying, but it's going well.
Okay.
It's going well.
Well, Schaefer, we'll get to the game here in a second, but before that, it is a massive recruiting weekend. Nebraska has a ton of people in town. How many visitors do they have? Like, how big is this weekend compared to weeks in the past, Schaefer?
Yeah, I don't have the approximate list, but they're going to have well over 30 recruits there on Saturday before the game, just milling the sidelines. You know, an hour and a half before the game, just soaking in the atmosphere. And there's just a lot of enthusiasm and excitement for this, as you would expect. And Nebraska's done a nice job really kind of pushing it as a big visit weekend. And so, you're going to have Kennedy Brown. You start there. He's a 2027, either number one or number two player in the country, depending on which service you're looking at. And so for Nebraska, it's just a big opportunity. You got a lot of guys like that in the 27 class. There's not going to be a ton of 2026 recruits there, but you're working ahead. And when you have Trey Taylor in town, Torrey Pittman in town, and Matt Erickson in town, the three guys committed for you already in 2027, you're looking to kind of build the bond with some of those juniors. And there's some 2028s that are coming in as well. So you've got everything from guys that are coming all the way from California. You have some top defensive backs and offensive linemen coming from out west. You have defensive linemen coming from Florida. You have defensive backs coming from all over. You got good players from Iowa in the 28 cycle, guys from Colorado in the 27 cycle. So it's just, and Kansas City and Missouri are going to be represented as well. So it's sort of the big visit weekend where you get people coming from all over. Last week was a pretty localized visit list. This one is basically C to C, and that's kind of how Nebraska has to recruit.
Tell me more about Kennedy Brown.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big offensive lineman from Houston. And it's a guy that's, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've heard from people down there in Texas that his interest in Nebraska isn't just lip service. He's been talking about Nebraska for a while. He's been out to Lincoln before. He's coming out here again. He's got a good relationship with Trey Taylor, who obviously has really stepped in as a big peer recruiter for Nebraska. I mean, he's got every offer that you can possibly imagine, even though he's only listed at just 44, but you name a major team and they've offered him. And so he's from Kingwood High School in Humble, Texas, which I believe is a suburb of Houston.
Like, if you're saying, if you're leading me around the field tomorrow before the game, just as like a, you know,
I assume we want to wait till Saturday.
Yeah, till
Saturday. Saturday. As a service, you would say, okay, there's Sipple, there's Kennedy Brown. Then I'd say, okay, well, who else do I need to see? Who would you show me?
Yeah, I mean, so you just kind of go from there, and you're going to have guys like Juju Johnson, who's a top defensive back from California, DeVay Williams, same thing, another highly rated defensive back. You're going to have a couple guys from Oklahoma and Samaj Stanford, Bryson Brown, two defensive backs. I believe they both play for Broken Arrow High School in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Two guys Nebraska has been pursuing pretty heavily. Matthew Gregory, a talented athlete out of the Pennsylvania area. Isaiah Rogers, a four-star running back out of Massachusetts. Will Slagle, a highly talented offensive lineman from next door in Iowa. So you're going to have a lot of talent. And then, like I said, there's some 2028s as well. There's some 2027 defensive linemen too, Josh Johnson, and Jalen Thompson, both coming out of Florida. And so there's going to be a lot of talent on the sidelines, and there's guys at every position. I mean, every position coach is going to be busy, before and after the game, you know, certainly for various reasons, but they're going to try to at least get a little FaceTime with some of these guys. I mean, Bill can kind of speak to how you want to take advantage of when you have talent like this on the sidelines too.
2027 class is off to a strong start with Erickson, Pittman, Trey Taylor, as you mentioned. Does it – loaded question, Mike, just bear with me. Does it sort of like ease the concern, maybe subdue the rancor about in-state recruiting when you go get Pittman and Erickson?
Yeah, I think that the rancor, and I love the use of the word rancor.
Rancor. Never heard rancor very much.
That's very nice, Sip. I like that, too.
Yeah. I think the rancor largely just stems from Nebraska only took one guy in the 26th class, and Jace Reynolds, and you see all of these players committed to Iowa State, and Iowa State has, you know, a ranked number next to their name, and they've had a nice run here with Matt Campbell, and then Jet Tamala ends up as a commitment at Alabama, and, you know, like, it's fans are wondering, are these players good enough for Nebraska? But Nebraska hasn't offered them. And I think the sort of important thing here is that Nebraska has to do what makes sense for it. And if they don't feel like some of these guys are fit, or if there's other players that they like more, that's the route that they're going to have to go. I mean, in the past, they had sort of a kind of a more open policy with taking in-state players because they were putting some of these guys on effectively NIL scholarships. I mean, they were sort of walking on and then also paying for their school at the same time. So they could be considered scholarship players, but maybe they weren't necessarily. You're not going to have that with the 105-man roster. They also, and this is somewhat tough because you have the opposite examples, but some of the guys they brought in state just haven't panned out for them either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, just because a guy comes from Nebraska, there's no guarantee that he's going to be cracking your two deep or that he isn't going to also be a headache when he is on the roster, because they've dealt with some of that too. So, like all things, I mean, I think they approach it with who's the best guys that they can get. Do they fit the program? And in the case of Erickson and Torrey Pittman, they're guys that they both viewed were talented enough and also fit what they want to do there.
From my Mike Schaefer. Regarding the game itself, Schaefer, Nebraska right now, down to a 1.5-point favorite Michigan as of this morning. Huskers trying to snap a 27-game losing streak into the top 25 teams, and also Matt Rhule 2-22 in his career against the top 25. We're a couple 2 days away from the game, but what scares you the most for Nebraska in terms of keeping that streak going? What is the scariest thing for Michigan for the Huskers?
I mean, there's a lot about Michigan that's obviously a concern. They're a program that they come out and they do things in almost a simple fashion, but that somewhat can be just difficult. Their offense is what it is. They don't dress it up a whole bunch. They come right after you, and you have to be prepared for that. I mean, there's an element of this where what concerns me the most about this game is less Michigan and more like, is Nebraska going to be able to show up, not play tight, handle the punches when they're thrown, roll with the punches, if you will. And so I just don't know if this program is ready for that yet. I think they are, but we won't know it until we see it on Saturday, if they're able to stand in there and
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. Let's be real. It's really hard to get flavor when you're trying to eat healthy, right? Good news for you. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day with flavor as well. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. Plus, no added sugar, that's just fruit as nature intended. 80 calories per cup, great source of fiber, and one of the highest fiber berries in general. These are also at Costco, Kroger, Winco. Once again, they're naturally low in sugar, high in fiber, and support gut health, blood sugar balance, and overall wellness. Whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. Do you want to discover new ways to use American frozen raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org. That's redrazz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine today. And remember, look for product of the U.S. on the bag.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know, Michigan has a big play. They set themselves up or they score right away. How does Nebraska respond? So I think some of that I still want to see. So I felt all along where Nebraska has caught Michigan on the schedule here is one of the biggest advantages the Huskers have. I think it's better to be playing this team right now in September than it would be if you were playing them on the 1st of November. And so I think part of this for me is if Nebraska can come in and handle themselves, I think they're getting a version of Michigan that's more beatable today than it would be later in the year.
Mike Schaefer joins us. Mike, what do you think the running back rotation will look like for Nebraska?
Yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting to see. It sure feels like Quentin Ives has made his ascent from, the back of the pack after his injury in fall camp to he was getting a lot of the work against Houston Christian. We didn't see Mekhi Nelson at all. It was a coach's decision, so I'm not entirely sure where that leaves things before this Michigan game. I anticipate, guys, it's going to be a lot more like Cincinnati,
yep,
where you weren't really worried about who the backup running back was because Emmett Johnson probably wasn't leaving the field unless he absolutely had to. And I imagine Nebraska is just going to try to ride him as much as they can. The bigger question is, when it's a short yardage situation, Are they trading out Emmett Johnson on the field for Quentin Ives? And is that the best version of Nebraska in that? Like that's something I really want to see. Their short yardage offense has been a little bit concerning, certainly right down there in the red zone. And we know that they used to move Dante Dowdell in for Emmett Johnson for those kinds of carries. Is Emmett going to get more goal line work? We saw it against some opponents, but will we see that against a bigger Michigan front? That's kind of a big question for me.
I would stick with Emmett.
I would too. I think to me, there's a pretty sizable gap between Emmett Johnson and what you have at backup running back. And I don't think it's worth exploring that unless you absolutely have to in a game like Saturday. You want Emmett on the field as much as you can.
We talked at length, Schaefer, again, for the defense for Nebraska. Again, the first game, Sorsby has almost 100 yards rushing for the quarterback from Cincinnati. Underwood only had five carries before last game, goes 9 carries for 120 yards against Central Michigan.
getting his legs more involved in the game. Do you feel like Nebraska has a handle on stopping the run from the quarterback this week?
Well, they're going to have to find out in a hurry, because you get Underwood and then you get Aiden Childs, and eventually you'll have Malik Washington. And, you know, it just goes down the line. Like, this is just part of college football in 2025. And so we'll find out. I don't know that it's the worst thing for Nebraska if Bryce Underwood is scrambling a bunch on Saturday. I mean, obviously they need to be able to contain that. You don't want them to be able to extend drives or extend plays. But at the same time, part of their success against Cincinnati is that Sorsby was scrambling instead of being able to throw the ball down the field. So if Nebraska is able to protect in giant chunks that way, that's good. The biggest thing is going to be when you have the opportunity to get them down in the backfield, you got to be able to finish those tackles. I mean, they had a couple pass rushes against Sorsby where he just sidestepped it and then ran straight up where the rush came from and had room to operate. So when they go after Bryce Underwood, they need to be able to finish with some important tackles here. And I think, I don't know that it's a bad thing if he scrambles a bunch on Saturday. I really don't. I think he's going to have a tough time with some of the coverage looks that Butler's probably going to throw at him. And I think it's probably better for Nebraska the more he feels like he has to pull the ball down to scramble than if he's able to sit back there and throw a lot.
You've heard John Cook talk about the importance of the word why, and why does this team want to win versus the other team? Why does this player want to excel more than the other? Who has a stronger why in this game, Michigan or Nebraska? Who needs it more is the question, basically.
Well, I think Nebraska needs it more.
You think so?
In the sense that from an optic standpoint, well, here, let me phrase it this way. The fan base, the Nebraska fan base needs it more. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of these teams are going to be fine regardless of what the result is from this game. That's what's tough about having these discussions is the whole season's left for Nebraska after this. If they aren't able to beat Michigan, they don't have to pack it up and go home. And if they do beat Michigan, they still have to show up and then play Michigan State and then Maryland and then Minnesota. Like, the grind continues. So we do this a lot where we make this season boil down to these one or two key games. But, you know, regardless of how it goes, Nebraska has to continue on. But I think their why is bigger than Michigan's, in that I think Nebraska needs to announce itself like, hey, we want to be part of this upper echelon of the Big Ten. We don't want to be hanging out in the soft middle or in the bottom third. Uh-huh. We want to be up here. And to prove that, you got to beat somebody. Mm-hmm. And their wins in recent years are largely against, you know, the Northwesterns or Wisconsin here last year, or, you know, what have you. It's time for them to go get a win that matters. Go take a scalp in a helmet game, you know, and this is their first opportunity to do that. And they don't have many opportunities on their schedule. So if Nebraska has a great year and they go 9-3, but all of their losses are against Michigan, USC, and Penn State, it could feel a little bit empty in that regard. Like, you want to go get a win against the best teams in the conference. Here's your opportunity. Go do it on Saturday.
I don't know how much you've seen Underwood. I know you've seen Sorsby because we watched an entire game. Who are you taking straight up right now, Sorsby or Underwood?
I'm taking Sorsby right now because Underwood still has a lot to go, you know, in terms of he's a true freshman. Like, we watched this last year with Dylan. There's going to be a roller coaster with a guy who – everything is kind of new for him. On Saturday, it's going to be the first time that he's had a non-conference road game. And so, yeah, he's played at Oklahoma, and he's been in a big environment, but it's going to be different. And how John Butler throws things are going to be different. I mean, we saw last year a UCLA team came into Lincoln and completely wrecked Dylan Raiola because they did things that he didn't see on film, and he had no idea how to adjust for an entire half. And he had one of the worst games of his season. So there's no reason Nebraska can't do something like that to a Bryce Underwood. With Brendan Sorsby, he's not as physically gifted and he doesn't have as big upside, but he's played a lot more football. He didn't come into that game against Nebraska and wide-eyed because he was playing a team like that. And I don't know that Underwood will either, but it's a bigger challenge when you have three total college games to draw off of than Brendan Sorsby, who had multiple years of starting experience.
Wrap up with this, Schaefer. I'm curious, from the start of the week to now, are you flip-flopping your thoughts in this game in terms of who wins? Are you pretty consistent on who you think is going to win this football game?
I've been consistent since really this summer. This is Nebraska's great opportunity against Michigan, and I think they're going to get it done. I've liked where this sat in the schedule. I like that Sherrod Moore doesn't feel like he needs to be the coach of this game, that this was one of the two that they chose. I like the spot for Nebraska from a motivational standpoint. I like that. I think we're going to get Bud Crawford in the stadium on Saturday, and that's going to add to the atmosphere. I think Nebraska is ready to take a big step forward, and I think we get to see it on Saturday.
Were you on a, hey, today, are you on, you sound really clear. You're on a cell phone?
No. He's on the stream. I can see him.
Oh, he's on the stream. Oh, we don't see the stream, Mike, so I don't.
They can't write.
No, I can I can see you guys. I'll wave.
You sound incredibly
good.
You
sound really good.
You sound clear and clean. It,
at the new house, I have a better microphone set up, and, you know.
God, what a beard.
I just wanted to give the people a clearer, better version of my
What a damn beard that is.
Schaefer, always good stuff. Thanks for the time. We'll chat with you here soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Always love talking to Schaefer.
Yeah, you could tell he's not on a cell phone.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds really cool. Looks like he's here.
That's what he's trying to do.
Big, big recruiting weekend. So Kennedy Brown is the one to watch there. Or there's a lot. There's 30-plus guys coming in. I was going to ask Bill, who are you taking, Sorsby or Underwood? Straight up, right now, you got to win a game on Saturday.
I'm with Schaefer, Sorsby. I take Sorsby. He runs really – matter of fact, he's more of a designed runner than Underwood is. And he's got good speed, and he's seen a lot more football. Yeah, it'd be like I said, the upside's the other way. But if it was today, we had to win a game, I'm taking Sorsby.
By the way, Sorsby, they play Kansas this week, Cincinnati, correct?
No, next week.
Is that the next week?
Yeah, they're off this week.
Oh, they're off this week. Yeah, okay.
Bye week, yep.
It's a big game.
We'll be Cincinnati, watching that one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Cincinnati, Kansas will be a big game just to see what Cincinnati really looks like. What are they? Really, what are they? I mean, Kansas gave up 600 to Missouri, so I don't know. It's not like playing Ohio State.
No. Still a challenge.
A lot of yards.
It's a lot of yards.
600. 600. 600. That's obtuse. That's an obtuse amount of yards.
When we come back, no one's talking about the amount of golf that Hugh Freeze played this summer anymore. You want to know why? They're 3-0, and they got a massive game this week. We'll tell you about it next, an early break in the ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.